what I'm going to preach on. I'm very sincere in what I'm about to say. I don't have a single note that's dangerous for you. Had no plans of preaching this. But I don't know a lot of things. A lot of things I don't know. You can ask me about it, I just don't know about it. But there's one thing I do know, and that is the precious leadership of the Holy Ghost. God has burnt something in my heart that I don't know why. As many times as I've read it several times this week. I've asked the Lord, what are you speaking to me about? And the Lord just kept putting one verse of Scripture on my mind for this service tonight. It's found in Mark chapter 4. It is the precursor to Mark 5, of course, and this event takes place right before the next chapter, where the Lord meets the three greatest enemies that we ever face. He meets a man that's possessed with devils, and he overcomes the demons or devils. The word demon is not in your Bible. The word in the Bible is devils, but it means the same. And then we see a woman with a disease that could not be cured until the Lord passed by. She said, if I can just but touch the hem of His garment, if I can but touch His clothes. Now, I can stop right there and preach. Do you know you don't have to touch the Lord if you just touch something connected to the Lord? Something can happen in your life. And then He dealt with death, with Jairus' daughter, and raised her from the dead. The three greatest enemies that we'll ever face. But before He faced those three things, in Mark chapter 4 and verse 35, He looks to His disciples and makes one statement. And the same day, when the even was come, He saith unto them, that's His disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. That's the text. Let us pass over unto the other side. Now, some people just look at passing over as when we go to heaven. We talk about people passing on. But I want to make a statement to you tonight, and I hope that you'll really think about this in days and weeks to come. Do you know in the Christian experience, you cannot stand still? Jesus was always on the move with His disciples, going to other needs, meeting other people, solving other problems, curing other diseases, helping others in times that they needed it the most. And the day that you think you can become satisfied and just stay in one place, it doesn't work that way. You'll either move forward or you'll go backward, but you won't stay the same. Thank all 10 of you for the amen. He said, let us pass over unto the other side. Hey, it's been a great week. The Lord just seemed to speak to my heart through the power of the Holy Ghost this afternoon and said, Cal, do you really think this is all I've got for you? Do you really think that this is all that I want to do for Souda County? Do you really think that that's all there is and that there's nothing no more in front of us? That's it. We've done it all. We've conquered every battle. We've come to the place. We've got every blessing that God has for us. We've seen every victory that we're going. Do you really believe that? And I said, oh, no, Lord. And He said, well, let us pass over unto the other side. Now, why did Jesus want to go to the other side? Why was He so interested about the other side? What was there on the other side that compelled Him to go there? Why was He so intent on telling His disciples, we're going to get to the other side? There's something that I want to do on the other side. There's something He wants to do on the other side of your problem. There's something He wants to do on the other side of the troubles that you've got in life. There's something beyond what you've already experienced. So they get in the boat and they start to the other side. And we see how the enemy begins to work. First, he faced a storm. He sends out a warning. Don't come over here. You know why a lot of people don't move forward for God? They just don't think it's worth going through the storm. But Jesus said, storm or not, we're going to the other side. He helped the disciples see how little their faith was, because when they got in the middle of the storm, the good thing about the storm, it'll show what you really think about Jesus. It'll tell if you really believe that He is who He says He is. The storms bring out the best in us and the worst in us. They had little faith and did not know. They called Him Master, but they didn't believe that He's Master. There's so many people that'll say, yes, I believe that the Lord is King of kings and Lord of lords. Well, then why can't you believe Him to feed you when you're hungry and pay your bills when you need money, heal your body when you're sick and save your soul when you're lost? I'm telling you, there's so much more when we begin to see who He really is. Almost every time before something great happens in your life where you go to a new level with Christ, you'll face a storm. And they called on Him. They didn't even know who He was. They said He was Master, but they were afraid. If you really believe He's Master, you won't be afraid. He's really got it. You're not afraid. They were beginning to wonder, is He really who He says He is? But Jesus gets up and speaks. And the storm hears His voice. You know why He calmed the storm? Jesus went through a storm for one man. The whole reason He went to the other side, there was a man on the other side that He had to help. And when the storm is over and Jesus gets off the boat, this man immediately comes to Him. This man was different from other men. He was the kind of man that would scare the average person. He lived among tombs. He was so strong with supernatural strength that chains and fetters could not hold him. He was possessed by devils. He was cutting himself with stones. Now here's what blessed my heart. He wasn't in Gadara. He was in the land of the Gadarenes. Gadara was a city about 6 miles off the coast of the sea that Jesus is on. But they occupied the territory all the way back to the sea, because Gadara would have no connection to get to the other side either if they didn't have a port to go out of the sea. So they owned the territory from the city all the way back to the sea. But here's the amazing thing. Jesus went to the other side and went through a storm for a man that was a Gentile. Not an Orthodox Jew. A Gentile. No Orthodox Jew would be raising swine. A good Jew won't raise and bless what the Lord has cursed. He was there in this land occupied for the Gentiles. Some of you ought to be shouting right now. Thank God the Lord went through the storm to save a Gentile. I'm glad the Lord saves mad men and mad women. People that have lost their mind. People that society couldn't handle. And that people couldn't do anything else with. They couldn't incarcerate him. They couldn't hold him down. They couldn't keep him in his place. But Jesus said, none of that scares me. No storm will stop me. No spirit will stop me. The Lord saying, I have all power in heaven and in earth, and I've come for the sake of one man. The Lord has come through the heat of the night all the way to Soda County just for you tonight. Some of you are like this man. You can't even go home. Some of you are saying, I don't have anywhere to go. Nobody loves me. You're wrong about that. The Lord loves you. And when the man comes, he meets the Lord. And he falls down to worship the Lord. But his worship is conflicted. What do you mean by that? Well, he wants to worship the Lord. But the spirits that possess him distract him. You know there's two kinds of worship. There's people that worship God in purity. And there's people that worship God, but they're distracted the whole time they're worshiping. They raise their hand, but they're looking around to see who else is there. Some people come and they sit like a statue. Cross their legs and fold their arms. And say, bless me if you can. They are spectators. They never participate in it. They just watch it happen. But the thing that gets me, he speaks to the Lord, but then suddenly the spirits begin to speak through him. And they said, I adjure thee. Thing that amazed me, they cry out with a loud voice and say, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? Isn't that something? The disciples didn't even know he was the Son of the Most High God. If they really knew that's who he was, they wouldn't have been afraid on that boat. They weren't there when the virgin brought forth a son. They weren't there when he was baptized in the river Jordan and heard the voice of God say, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. They were with him and they wanted to believe it, but now suddenly these evil spirits, they know something about Jesus that his own disciples don't seem to know. Do you know something? The devil knows more about God than a lot of church members today. They know who he is and they know what he can do. Well, how do they know that? Because their leader used to be part of the angelic choir, the leader of all. And one day he said, I will be like the Most High. And the Lord said, no, you won't. And he was cast down, Lucifer, out of heaven. And when he was cast down, ever since that time, every demon, every devil that has ever existed, they believe and tremble because he has more power than their ruler. And Jesus senses that. And he talks to him. And all of a sudden, the devils said, let's make a deal. If you're going to cast us out of the man, verse 10, we beseech you that you not send us out of the country. We haven't got this yet. The devil doesn't care anything about people. He cares about property. He cares about possessing places. Do you know why he doesn't care about people? Because he knows people are here for a little while. He just uses them for what he wants. And when he's through with them, he laughs at their calamity. And he laughs that they've scoffed God. And then he's waiting for the next one to come along. And he's saying, if I can't have him, just leave us here. So if I can't have him, I tell you what. If you leave us here, at least you can have the man. But we want this property. We want this place. We want this country. Do you hear what I'm preaching to you? We want this country. Why? Because if we can't have this man, maybe we can get his children. Maybe we can get his spouse. Maybe, just maybe, we can get his neighbors. Maybe we can get his leaders. Maybe we can get someone else that passes through this place. So it's all right. If you're going to cast us out of this man, let us stay here. But the Lord said, you don't understand. He confirms it in Ephesians when he says, neither give place to the devil. The Lord says there's one problem to the demons. You don't own this land. This land is my land. I formed it. I created it. Man sinned and cursed it. But I didn't come just to walk on the ground. I came to claim back the very ground that man has cursed with sin. I have come to take this place back. Oh, I won't keep you long. I hope. How many of us are ready to look the enemy in the eye and say, we've had enough? This is what led me to this. It's funny how God will let you experience something and years later bring it back to your thought and to your mind. And when I was praying about this service, the Lord took me back to an automobile ride where there were only three people in the car. Brian, myself, and an elderly friend that he's now in heaven. And one day he asked us to go to lunch. We met him for lunch. And after lunch, he said, I'd like to take you guys and show you something. I said, well, sure, we've got the afternoon. We'd love to ride along with you. He drives down a road, turns into a beautiful subdivision. And when he turns in, he starts weeping. And I looked at him and I said, preacher, what are you weeping about? He said, you see all this, these houses? I said, yeah. He said, they're all mine. I said, what? He said, they're all mine. He said, I heard that this fella, I hate it that it happened, said, but it was a multi-million dollar company and they bankrupted and the bank took everything back. And he said, I went in the bank and I sold a little piece of property. And I went in the bank and I prayed about it and said, I'd like to buy that subdivision out there. And he told him what he would offer. And the banker laughed at him. 6 months later, the banker called and said, do you still have that money? He said, yes. He said, can you close on it in 30 days? He said, yes. He said, you can have it all. Well, he drove through and he said, I own that house. One of my kids is moving in there. That one right there, they just finished it up. It just needed a few things done. One of my family members moving in there. And he pointed out one house after another. And then he went up to this gate and drove through this gate. And by this time, he's shouting uncontrollably. And when we crossed through this mound area, it's like a big snowdrift that was built. When we got on the other side, there's a beautiful lake. Enormous homes sitting there. And he said, can I tell you the best part, preacher? I said, what's that? He said, I bought that. God did it with that little bit of money. He said, but I didn't know until we closed on the deal. They got to talking about this lake, and I thought, well, I hadn't seen a lake. And the fellow from the bank said, well, yeah, there's a lake there. He said, where's that at? And said, he brought me out here. And he looked at it, he said, that's the most beautiful lake that I've ever seen. And he said, well, it's yours. And he started to weep, and he said, isn't that something? I thought that I had everything when I bought that. But I own property that I didn't know anything about. And he said, when I pass the other side of that wall and realize all of that is mine too, he said, I thought that I had been blessed, But I realized even more how much the Lord had blessed the work of feeble hands and helped a man that didn't have any education to get what I've got in life. And he said, don't misunderstand me, preacher. If I didn't have any of this, I'd still love the Lord just as much. He's in heaven now, but I've thought about that these past few days. How many Christians own property that they don't even know their owner of? And the devil has said, I've got the deed. But tonight, let us pass to the other side and tell the enemy, we're going to transfer deeds tonight. That property belongs to me. It doesn't belong to you. My children are not your children. My church is not your church. Our county is not the devil's county. Our state is not occupied by the state. Our government, our United States of America, this is God's property. Oh, the devil's squatting on God's property. And we've got every right to say enough is enough. Tonight, in Jesus' name, let us pass over to the other side and remind the devil it's ours. It's ours. I'm about to preach tonight. I didn't come this far not to throw my rock. Back up on that. I didn't come this far not to throw my rock at the enemy. The devil says your kids are hooked on drugs and they're hooked in sin and they've gone too far and I've got them. You ought to say tonight, in Jesus' name, I'm passing over to the other side. The devil said your church can't grow and souls can't be saved. You ought to tell the enemy tonight, I'm passing over to the other side. I'm going to let the Lord do great things than I ever imagined. People's already coming saying, enough's enough. You say, I'm old. I'm gray-headed. So am I. You say, you don't look gray-headed. Wonderful hairspray. You say, I'm sick. I can't do anything. Oh, yes, you can. You can say, He is the Son of the Most High God. Hey, this is none of the devil's business. But in the meantime, we sit back and throw up our hands to this sinful liberal crowd that comes along and says you can't preach the gospel and you can't preach the word of God and the devil will do you in if you do those things and nobody wants to hear it and nobody wants to believe it. You listen to me tonight. The devil's a liar. You take the authority in Jesus' name and say we're going to turn our community upside down for Jesus. You're lost tonight. And the enemy says to you, I've got you. Self-inflicted wounds. Cutting yourself. I thought about this. When he cast out the demons, these devils, into the herd of swine, they committed suicide. Can you imagine the torture that man had been under all of that time? And all he needed to overcome all of it was Jesus. I I've got the sleeping pill for your soul. His name is Jesus. I've got the answer for your anxiety. His name is Jesus. I've got the anchor for your soul. His name is Jesus. I've got the cure for your troubles. Oh, glory to God. His name is Jesus. I saw these young people coming up last night, and many of them, not only those that were being saved, but many of them, they were with Christian friends. And all we hear about, the struggles they have, the problems they have, the strife they have. But when are we going to say, but look at the Jesus they've got. He is greater than everything that this world can bring against them. That's why we have to say, we've come to claim new territory. The Lord's given us the rights, and we're going to trust Him for it, to see God do greater things than we've ever seen before.